Osho, the language of existence, talks on Zen, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 3.
Beloved Dogwan, followers of the Tao, said Rinzai, this mountain monk's view does not differ from that of Sakyamuni Buddha. In all the variety of our daily activities, is there anything lacking? The spiritual light manifesting through the six senses has never been interrupted. He who is able to perceive it in this manner can be an unconcerned man for the rest of his life. Virtuous ones, there is no peace in the three worlds, which are like a house on fire. It is not a place for a long stay, because the murderous demon of impermanence will, in an instant, make no choice between the noble and the humble, and between the old and the young. If you do not want to differ from the patriarch and the Buddha, it will suffice for you to seek nothing outside. If, in the time of a thought, your pure and clean no-mind shines, this is your own Dharmakaya Buddha. If, in the time of a thought, your passionless no-mind shines, this is your own Sambhogakaya Buddha. If in the time of a thought your non-differentiating no-mind shines, this is your own Nimanakaya Buddha. This threefold body is the one who is now listening to my expounding of the Dharma. This can only be achieved if nothing is sought from without.
I had to say something about my actions yesterday. Before I can enter into the discussion of Rinzai's statement, I could not come yesterday because Anando took all my clothes to some dry cleaner. First I thought the dry cleaner must be in Pune, but by the end of evening it became clear that the dry cleaner is in Bombay, and by the night she phoned that she is going to Switzerland. All the 12 suitcases of Agarbhava full of my clothes for dry cleaning. Somehow she has to be persuaded to come back to the dress. Without clothes, the government will have immediate reason to arrest you. Oh, Fortunately, she has returned from Bombay. The whole credit of my being here today goes to her. Followers of the Tao, said Rinpoche, this mountain monk's view does not differ from that of Shakyamuni Buddha. In fact, he is not saying that only his thoughts are actually the same as Gautam Buddha. All the Buddhas, past and present and future, have the same insight, the same illumination. But he can say only about himself for the simple reason that that is his actual experience. The moment he became known about his Buddhahood, since then he has been watching that every action, every activity, every response is exactly that of Shakyamuni Gautam Buddha. In all the variety of our daily activities, is there anything lacking? The spiritual light manifesting through the six senses. The six senses have to be noted down. Ordinarily we talk only of five senses. The six is dormant. The moment you turn in, the sixth function starts working. Hence, when the Buddhists talk about six senses, it amazes people. Where is the sixth sense? It is not visible. It is when you close your eyes, suddenly you see a new sense penetrating in your interiority which you have never known before. It has been there, but you have never turned inward. The Buddha always talks about six senses. The spiritual light manifesting through the six senses has never been interrupted. Now it should be made seven senses. For the simple reason that up to this century, physiologists were not aware that in your ear there are two senses, not one. One is the sense of hearing and another is the sense of balance. The drunkard walks wavering, wobbly, for the simple reason because the alcohol affects the sense of balance. He wants to put his foot in one place and it goes into another. This sense that is hidden in the ear has never been mentioned in the past, because it is not as manifest as eyes, ears, hands. The poor drunkard suffers from the sixth sense. So I would like to change the order. The seventh sense is the Buddha sense, the Buddha eye. The sixth you all have, but somebody hits on your ear and suddenly you feel the whole world moving. That is the sixth sense. A drunkard is trying hard to open the lock of his door. The wife has got tired of him. He won't listen. He will come whenever he feels like. In the middle of the night, so she said, you keep the key and you silently open the door, go into the room and sleep and don't disturb. He was in a great trouble, and the policeman on the street was watching the difficulty of the poor man. He could not manage the key to enter into the lock. Both the hands were going wobbly. You need a little balance to keep the lock stand still, and you want also balance for your other hand which is holding the key. The policeman, feeling for the old man, came fast by and asked him, can I help you? He said, you have to. Just hold my house while I open the door. Everything is trembling. It seems there is an ongoing earth. The policeman laughed. He said, this idea never entered in my mind. At that very moment, the wife opened the door, hearing some noise from the second story, and asked, what is the matter? Is not the key working? Shall I throw another key? The man's key is perfectly okay. You just send another lock so that I can open it. Just the sense of everything loses its balance. When it starts not only walking wobbly, when it starts seeing things which are not there, avoiding things which are not there, and is staggering against things which are there, there is a confusion. to follow a drunkard from the pub to his house is a great experience. How many great things happen on the way, you cannot believe. So I would like for you to remember there are seven senses. The sixth that Rinjai says is the Buddha sense. I would like to call it the seventh. About the sixth, Rinjai is as traditional, conventional as everybody. It was not his fault. It was never thought that there needs to be a sense of balance. It is only the discovery of deeper structure of the ear that made it clear to us that we have a certain sense of balance too. From all these senses, Rinjai is saying constantly a certain light is radiating. He who is able to perceive it in this manner can be an unconcerned man for the rest of his life. Virtuous ones, there is no peace in the three worlds, which are like a house on fire. This is the experience of all the Buddhas. There is no peace anywhere. Everything as it is on fire. And all that you need is to jump out of this fire. Your jealousy is fire, your anger is fire, your fear is fire, your love is fire. All that you are living is nothing but a house on fire. Every moment there is anxiety, every moment there is anguish. Virtuous ones, there is no peace in the three worlds, which are like a house on fire. It is not a place for a long stay, because the murderous demons of impermanence will, in an instant, make no choice between the noble and the humble, and between the old and the young. If you do not want to differ from the patriarch and the Buddha, it will suffice for you to seek nothing outside. That is the essence of the message. Nothing to seek outside. Seeking for something outside is entering into a house which is on fire. However you try, you may even become comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. Just by saying to yourself that this is what life is. But this is not so. You may settle with your sadness, your misery, everybody has settled with things, believing that what else one can do? Anger comes, love comes, hate comes, and they all possess you like demons. The only way to avoid this whole vicious circle from one prison to another prison, from one fire to another fire, the only way is to seek nothing outside and turn inward. There is no seeking inward. You simply find. Outside you seek and you never find anything. Inside you do not seek, it is already there. If in the time of a thought your pure and clean no mind shines, this is your own Dharmakaya Buddha. Buddha has made categories. Dharmakaya means the body of religiousness. In the time of a thought, your mind is clear, clean. No mind finds. This is your Dharmakaya Buddha. You are entering into a realm of your inner state, which can be said the body of the very religiousness. If in the time of a thought your personless no mind signs, this is your Sambhogkaya Buddha. No mind signing itself is meditation. That's what is called samadhi. Buddha has called it Sambhogkaya, the body of blissfulness. If in the time of a thought your non-differentiating no mind shines, this is your own Nirmanakaya Buddha. Perhaps Buddha is the only person in the past who has given any credit to creativeness. Nirmanakaya means the body of creativeness. Nirman means creativeness. If no mind signs without making any differentiation, your whole energy itself spontaneously starts creating. It does not matter what it creates. You may be a potter, or you may be a musician, you may be a poet. Whoever you are and whatever you are doing, you may be just a housewife. Your work will take the quality of creativeness. Your work will take the quality of love, of silence, peace. These three fold bodies is the one who is now listening to my expounding of the Dharma. Rinzai says, you are all these three bodies. although you are not aware of them, you are aware of only one body, the skin body, which is just a skeleton. Hidden behind it are treasures Buddha has divided them into three: dharmakaya, sambhogkaya, nirmanakaya. This threefold body is the one who is now listening to my expounding of the dharma. This can only be achieved if nothing is sought from without. If you do not seek anything from without, you are complete, you are entire, you are perfect. The moment you start desiring something from outside, trouble starts. You have already descended from the throne of an infidel and become a beggar. And once a beggar, it will be very difficult to find the throne again. The world is vast. And desire takes you far away. Whole lives are devoted to fulfill childish desire. One of the most richest men of his time, in 1940, I was a small child, and my father was sick. So I was with my father in the hospital. This rich man in Indore, Sir Sheikh Hukam Singh, has created really a great hospital, and he used to come. And by the way, we became friends. He was an old man, but he used to come every day, and I used to wait for him on the gate. I asked him, "You have so much, almost 3/4 houses of Indore were his property, and Indore is almost the next beautiful and richest place than Bombay. He said, "You are asking a strange question. Nobody ever asked me." I had asked him, "Why you still are continuing new industries, creating new palaces, and you are becoming old? What all this is going to be of any help at the time of death?" He said, "I know. Everything will remain here and I will be gone. But just the desire to be the most successful rich man in the country kept me driving for no other reason, just everything that I should have must be the best. He has a Rolls Royce in the whole world, made in solid gold. It never used, It was never driven. It was just for so standing in his beautiful palace. He has the best horses in the world, you can imagine. I have never seen such beautiful horses. He has a whole palace of things filled with all kinds of exotic things. And the reason that he wants to be the only one owner of a certain thing. It was his absolute condition whenever he purchased a thing that this thing should not be produced again. He should be the only owner. And he was ready to pay any money for it. His only desire was, because Indore in those days was a state, to purchase all the houses, even the palace of the king. And he has almost succeeded. 75% houses of Indore belong to him. And even the king had to borrow money from him. And he was giving him very generously in order finally to settle that the whole Indore, he may be the king, but it is his property. I asked him what it will do to you, what peace it will bring. You are always anxious, tense, coming to the hospital, asking the psychiatrist about your troubles. These houses cannot solve your troubles. And this money cannot solve your troubles. And finally a time came that he captured all the gold of India. He became the gold king of India. He purchased all gold wherever it was possible. And once you have all the gold in your hands, you have the whole country in your hands. If you start selling it there, the prices will go down. He kept the whole market dependent on him just because he was holding the gold. And I asked that, what enjoyment you are getting out of it? He said, I don't know. Just a tremendous desire that to be the richest, to be the most powerful. The inward journey begins only when you understand it clearly that anything outside is not going to give you contentment. Takuan wrote, invited by your parents, we came here as temporary guests, and without remaining mind, we go back to our native place. In a small haiku, he is describing the whole life. A child comes invited by the parents as a guest in the world. it stays here some time and again moves into the unknown universality, just as a wave arises and disappears in the ocean. This much is our so-called life. If you understand it, you become humble. You become utterly peaceful. You know that you are just a guest here. There is no need to possess anything. There is no need to cling to anything. Everything will be left behind and you will be gone. And the tidal wave of death will be coming and will clean the floor of all your signatures that you have been making. Hoti, another Zen master, haiku, Maitreya, Maitreya, forever dividing himself, is here, there, everywhere, yet is scarcely noticed. This haiku is particularly important for us, because Maitreya is lying here. Hotei was not aware where Maitreya is. He used to sit here in the front line and he has been missed. I can provoke him. Because, you see, Swami Gurudev, because he will have to go and provoke him. That is the problem. Because he won't listen to anybody, he will have to be dragged out. And once in a while he comes, he still knocks doors in the Lao Tzu house. Few days Ananda was very much terrified because he was knocking on her door every night. He used to be her neighbor. He's being missed tremendously. But in any way he is here in the trees, in the air. Maitreya, Maitreya, he is here, there, everywhere, yet is scarcely noticed. Maitreya is Buddha's another name. The friend is the meaning of the word. A question by Manisha. Beloved Bhagwan, when you talk about nirvana or anything else that our minds do not know, it is easy enough to listen without the mind, just allowing your words to filter through our consciousness, to meditate, to use your words to meditate. However, when you speak on an issue that might affect our daily life, it is more difficult to listen without engaging the mind. For example, apparently the other night some of us heard you endorse drugs. Some of us heard you say they were of no help for seekers. If we use our mind at all in listening to you, if we miss the point of sitting here, Manisha, your question is significant because it may be the question of many, and it arises because you are not listening. What I have said the other night was neither that I want any kind of drug, neither I have said that I don't want. What I have said was a third thing. I have said that for centuries humanity has struggled to stop drugs but has failed. The only way to get rid of drugs is to purify drugs, and it is possible because they are chemical. We can change their constituents and we can make them so useful that they don't destroy or harm anybody, but just give him a restful, peaceful moment to look beyond his ordinary life. That may help him to inquire more deeper. That small incident may become a search for meditation. Unless drugs can be used as a step towards meditation, they are dangerous. And as they are today, they are all dangerous. And no government has been able to prevent them. All kinds of measures, millions of people in jail, particularly young people, utterly destroyed by those drugs. And a simple solution. I have always wondered that why the people who are in power always go for something that is impossible and don't try that which is very simple. The simplest thing is that no factory should produce any drug that destroys anything in people's minds. The drug should be a nourishment and creative of an urge towards meditation. But nobody has even proposed that. The problem is the same about all our difficulties. Those who are in power only because most of the humanity is sick. Either they are sick because undernourishment, or they are sick because of wrong nourishment. Either they are suffering from drugs, or they are suffering from anxieties and other anguishes. It seems the elite, the powerful, want people to remain as they are. Nobody wants that everybody should become a Buddha, and every opportunity should be provided by education, by parents, by neighbors, every opportunity to help the person to meditate. My understanding is that there is nothing in the world to be denied. I am absolutely in affirmation, because even poison can be used to cure something. So nothing has to be denied, only you have to find how to use it in an affirmative way that life becomes richer. Now you say, few people heard that I endorse drugs. In a way, yes, but not the drugs that are available, but the drugs that can be created, which will not be the same marijuana and hashish and LSD. They will have a different constituent of chemicals helping your body and mind in all the possible ways. So they heard rightly, but they may interpret it wrongly. They may think, my God, I have been thinking Bhagwan is against drugs, and they may have rushed after the meeting that enough of the Buddha now. Find out someone who is selling all kinds of drugs, but they misinterpreted me. They did injustice to me. I am not for these drugs. And you say, some of us heard you say they were of no use for seekers. That was also wrong. As they are of no use for the seekers, they are hindrances. But it is in our hands to change them. Man can reach to the moon, and he cannot transform a drug from its negative, harmful aspect into a life affirmative, life enhancing quality. It is simply a surprise. Just nobody is trying in that direction. Because the religious leaders are afraid if people become satisfied with drugs, who is going to the church? Who is going to the temple? People will simply be enjoying drugs and without any bad effects, so you cannot even speak against them. The government will be afraid of such drugs because soldiers will be taking them. and you cannot convince them that you have to go to war. They will become so peaceful. They have to be kept in such a state that they are ready any moment to kill anybody. But if such drugs are available, then there will be such peace in the soldiers that the general may order, turn left, and nobody will turn left. I have told you the story of the professor in the Second World War who was enrolled because more soldiers were needed and from every profession. And he was a professor of philosophy. He said again and again that I am not the type one needs to become a soldier. I am a professor of philosophy. But nobody heard him. Everybody is finding excuses not to go to the front. He was forced. The first day he stood in the line and the orders were given, the morning parade, turn left, turn right, go forward, come back. He remained standing. The general came to him, "What is the matter, man? Why don't you do what you have said?" He said, "What is the point? Finally, everybody has to come here where I am standing. All this exercise, can you tell me the point of it? Where they are going? Because finally, fall in the line. So I am already standing there. Nothing new is going to happen out of this left and right. I am watching." The general said, "You are a very strange person. Who has recruited you in the army?" He said, "I have been telling beforehand that I am not the type. All these idiots, and you included, are unnecessarily doing things. I don't see any enemy here. So he was taken to the man who has brought him. He was the manager of the mess. So he was asked what to do with this man. He does not listen to the orders, and on the contrary, he argues and he is dangerous because others laugh and his arguments may spread around and others may start saying the same thing. He is a very dangerous person. I don't want him in my regiment. He called me idiot before everybody else. And in fact, I cannot refute him. It is idiotic. So he was right, but I cannot have him. You put him into some other work." The manager said, "I will manage in the mess." He told him there was a pile of peas. He told him that sit down and sort out the peas, the bigger ones on this side and the smaller ones on this side, he said, at least this I can do. After 1 hour, when the manager came, nothing has happened. The person was simply sitting there, almost meditating. The manager said, my God, what happened? You have not done anything. You have not even touched this single He said, I am a man who never takes a single step without comprehending the whole implications. The man has never heard the word implication. He said, implication? It was such a simple task. He said, it is not simple. You don't understand the theory of relativity. He said, we don't need Albert Einstein here. Anybody can do that. Bigger ones on one side, smaller ones on another side. The professor said, and what about those who are in the middle? That is the problem I have been meditating where to put them. They have no place. And you never told me where to put the middle ones. And this is a very complicated problem because some are bigger, some are smaller, some are more smaller, some are more smaller. If I accurately do it, then I will have to make a line of the piece. This will go miles. If you want to do me that, I can do it, but I don't see in what way this serves the country. I thought you are a sensible man, but it seems the whole company here is of the idiot. The first idiot was telling left, right, and you are telling such a thing that is almost impossible. The line will go miles. And who will take care? I will be going with the line. Without comprehending all the implications, I cannot touch anything. I have told you beforehand that my profession is philosophy. It is a trouble. Either you hear and then interpret it wrongly, or you don't hear and then you think the drugs cannot help. You both are wrong, because you both are thinking of the present day drug. And I am talking that something that has not been solved for centuries and disturbed millions of people's lives, it is time that somebody should point it to the scientists and to the governments of the world, that you are unnecessarily torturing millions of people in jail The simple thing will be to change the constituents of the drugs and make them healthier. But the trouble is, the government is interested in violent people, not silent people. And the priest is interested in tense, anxiety-ridden, miserable people. Otherwise, who is going to pray for whom? This is the basic reason that nothing has been done. Otherwise, it is a simple matter. Nothing can be more simple. And the same is the situation about other matters. And Manisha, I understand that you can listen about Nirvana or anything else that your minds do not know. Do you want me to talk only things which you don't know? That will simply mean I would not talk. Because in fact I have talked so much about Nirvana that you know it already as much as you know about drugs. Perhaps more about Nirvana than about drugs. And don't you want me to talk about your practical life? You simply want me to talk about things you have nothing to do about. Just have an entertainment and move towards the canteen. No, I will talk about your practical life and I will talk about the beyond together, because half is not possible. If you only talk about the beyond, then your actual life remains the same and the beyond cannot be reached. It can never become your experience. I have to talk about the beyond so that it slowly, slowly it sinks into your every fiber of being, and I have to talk about your practical life so that you can start changing that according to the life beyond. They have to become one. But right now, Nirvana has no meaning to you. It is just a word. People like to talk about things which make no difference in their life. But I am not interested in that kind of gathering. If you are not interested in transforming your life, you are wasting your time here unnecessarily. Your practical life and your beyond are one single whole. They both have to be discussed. And you have to learn not to interpret, but to listen clearly what I am saying. she has asked another question. Beloved Bhagwan, sometimes during meditation there is the sensation of consciousness arising and expanding. Is that the same phenomenon that is involved in watching? Manisha, watching is the highest point. What arises in meditation is the beginning. It is just a dew drop. When you will go farther and farther and farther and reach the ocean, then you will know the tremendous vastness and greatness and grandeur of watchfulness. Meditation is only a technique. Watchfulness is your nature. Meditation is a way to reach to watchfulness. Now, something serious. Maggie Muldoon finally decides to go to see the famous prince, Dr. Feelgood. Doc, says Maggie, my husband is unbearable. He drinks 3 bottles of whiskey a day. He smokes 5 packs of cigarettes. And he screams at me all day and all night to do this and to do that. He pushes me around and he can't keep a job. Well, says Feelgood, putting down his notepad, if he is as bad as all that, why on earth did you have 15 children by him? I was hoping, replies Maggie, to lose him in the crowd. Kovalevsky is brought to court for stealing a frozen chicken from the local supermarket. Boris Bebelbrain, the younger liar, puts up an amazing defense for Kovalevsky and the Polak is found not guilty. You are discharged, says judge. Rum cake. But Kovalevsky does not move. He only looks back blankly. The judge says, you can go. His double brain waving his arms at Kovalevsky and the door. Suddenly Kovalevsky's face lights up and he smiles at the judge. Thank you, Your Honor, Kovalevsky says. And does that mean I can keep the chicken? Pali gets religion. It happens in Christianity. Few people get religious. And when Pali gets religion and leaves her profession in a whorehouse, we start a new life with Christ's salvation arms. One night she is beating a drum on a street corner. I used to lay in the arms of men, South Pali. Boom! Goes the drum. White men, South Pali. Boom! Black men, South Pali. Boom! Boom! China men, South Pali. Boom! 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 I used to lay in the arms of the devil himself, he shouts, boom, 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 boom. That is right, sister. Hallelujah. Comes a voice from the back of the crowd, screw them all. But this is a common phenomenon. When people get religion, it is a great contribution of Christianity to the world. They get religion and also a drum. So they sound their sins and beat the drum to attract the attraction of people. They also can have religion. But it is such a stupid thing. Religion is not something that one gets. One has it. Nobody can give it to you. It is your very being. No, never, no. Boom.
To be completely frozen. Look inward. Just This is the way to your innermost being. As your look centers you become slowly aware of your real nature. The real nature we have called the Buddha. In this moment, you are all Buddha. And this moment can be carried all around the day. Not as a tension, not as a thought, but just as a fragrance, as a remembrance. An undercurrent. It will flow into your practical life. The Buddha is your beyond. It will flow into your actions, into your responses, into everything that you do. The Buddha will be present. And this is the greatest experience in the world, to have Buddha present 24 hours inside you like a burning star. Radiating light all around, filling you with deep contentment. Making you aware of all the blessings of life that are continuously showered on you. But you have been blind. To make it more sharp and clear, Nivedana, relax, let go. You are just a watcher. The mind is there, the body is there, but you are not the body. Neither you are the mind. You are simply a watcher. Just watching, you become more and more centered. Just watching, you come closer and closer to the universal center. Just watching, and you have got it. the eternity of it, the immortality of it, the tremendous rejoicing of it. A man who has experienced Buddha within himself, his whole life becomes a festival. A festival of life. Each moment is ceremony. Each moment a dance. Each moment thousands of flowers blossom in the consciousness. Deeper the watcher goes, more hidden treasures open their doors. Come back, but come back as a Buddha, remembering the space in which you have been. Bring that joy with you, that peace, that silence, those all flowers. Sit for a few seconds, just like a Buddha.
Yes, Bhagwan.
Can we celebrate the meeting of the Buddha?
Yes, Bhagwan.